Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Thought about it this afternoon. I thought about just getting up and saying, if you thought the message this morning was a little bit tough, just hang on, this one's going to be the same way. It's going to be a little different type message, though. I want to preach on moving forward for the Lord. We're ending this year, getting ready to go into next year. And I don't know how many here tonight, I just want to move forward. I just want to keep going. Amen. She said in that song, I'm going to make it. Amen. Praise God, we're going to make it. Amen. And I want to move forward for the Lord. Amen. I want to have a better year this year than I had next year than I had this year. That ought to be our goal. Amen. Just to keep doing better, to get stronger in the Lord, to grow in the Lord every day. That ought to be our goal. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, when you get there, let's stand. I'm going to start reading in verse 10. I thought about it. might want to just keep these here Christmas trees up. It seems like people's using their Bibles a little more. They ain't got the scripture on the wall. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. And God, I ask your hand to be upon us right now, Lord, as we try to preach. God, help us right now, God, tonight, Lord, and to kind of a continuation from the message this morning, Lord. God, we want to go into this year better than we did last year, Lord. We want to go into this year, God, looking forward and moving forward for you. Have your way right now in this church, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to be honest with you. If Chucky was here, he'd probably be tickled to death. We're going to probably get home a little early. Amen. If y'all don't amen me now, I'll just stay here and drag it out. But I just got probably not going to preach very long, just some tips on what we can do to make this coming year better than this year. Amen. Number one, this is a tough one. This is a tough one. I'm just be honest with you. We got to forget the past. I don't raise your hand, but how many would say this past year hadn't been a very good year? We've had ups and downs. Amen? And the best thing to do is forget. Ain't it amazing how, and I've said this before, ain't it amazing how that what we're going through right now seems to be the worst that we've ever gone through? Am I the only one that feels like that sometimes? I mean, it seems like the valley I'm in, Brother Tony, I ain't never been in a valley this deep, and I know good and well that I have. Amen. But we got to forget the past. We got to Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, there were some troubles this past year. Yes, there were some hard times this past year. Yes, there were some things that we would love to go back and change, but we're pressing forward, amen? We got to forget past sins. And we all do. We need to forget past sins. If you've confessed your sin, now listen, if you've confessed your sins and they're under the blood, God don't even remember them. 1 John 1, 9 said, if we confess our sin, amen, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalms 32, verse 20, verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquities have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Did y'all notice that word, forgavest? That is a past tense word. In other words, they're already gone. And I don't know about you, but When I do something wrong, I know I do something wrong right then, Brother Ralph. I don't wait till I get to church to try to get it right. I want to get it right then. I ask God to forgive me right then. And I'm going to be honest with you. One of the hardest things that I've had to learn in my Christian walk was to shrug that off, shake it off, and forget those past sins. The only one bringing them up to you, Satan. And you think about that. It's past tense. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Psalms 23, verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That means mercy is following me everywhere I go. And when I stumble and when I sin and I ask God to forgive me, guess what? Mercy is right there with me. Every time I need it, every time I fall, every time I ask God to forgive me, mercy is right there following. Why does the Bible say that? Because God knows how we are. Amen. He knows how we are. He knows we all gonna mess up. Let me go ahead and tell y'all something. In 2025, you gonna sin. Everybody shake your head like that right there. Amen. In 2025, you will sin. In 2025, you will need mercy. In 2025, you will need grace. But guess what? If he forgave you in 2024, glory to God, he'll forgive you in 2025. Amen. But you got to understand, you've got to forget those past sins. Don't hold on to those things. Somebody said one time, you must not let long-range goals keep you by being frustrated by short-term failures. My goal is heaven. Amen. My goal is heaven. I'm not going to let something like a sin that I did, my stupidity, keep me off my goal. Amen. You got to understand something. When we first start, I don't know. I'll just pick on David a little bit. David's been coaching ball for years and years and years. And I guarantee you there have been times that David went out there that first practice and David said, what in the world have I got myself into? But you know what? After about 5, 6, 7, 8 practices and 10 practices, it kind of starts coming together, don't it? You ever notice that's how it is with us? Let me tell you something, folks. Don't let short-term failures keep you from your long-term goal. Amen. I mean, how crazy is it for somebody to say, well, I've made a mistake. I can't go to heaven. I'm just going to quit. I've known people that did that. Well, I can't live it. So let me tell you something. We can't live it, but we can live it through Jesus. Amen. We got to forget about the past. To move forward, you must forgive every persecution. Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. This is hard. Don't raise your hand, but how many is holding on to a grudge? How many is holding on to something in your past or somebody that you've not forgiven, that somebody hurt you, and legitimately, you've got a complaint, legitimately, you've got a reason not to forgive. But the Bible says if you don't forgive, he don't forgive you. We've got to move on. We got to forgive all every persecution. Number one, let me go back to my first point. Number one, you got to forgive yourself. You ever done something stupid and you held a grudge on yourself and you're mad at yourself for weeks and weeks and weeks? You got to forgive yourself, amen. But not only you got to forgive yourself, you got to forgive everybody else that does you wrong. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. If you want to move forward, I heard this. Somebody said, you know, holding unforgiveness in your heart like burning down your house just to get rid of the rats. It don't make no sense. I ain't calling no names, but I remember talking to a guy. I remember witnessing to him and inviting him to church and talking to him, and I could tell he was under conviction. I could tell that the Lord was dealing with him. And I said, well, what? I said, you know, you got, we, and I said something about forgiveness. He said, oh, I got somebody I can't forgive. And I don't want to go into no detail. But he said, I'd rather die and go to hell than forgive that man. I thought, wow. Let me tell you something, folks. Unforgiveness will kill you. It will destroy you. The Bible says in Mark, Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Let me ask you a question. How much does God forgive you of? And we're holding a grudge because somebody looked at us wrong. We're holding a grudge because somebody said something wrong. And look at all the stuff that God has forgiven us for. Mark chapter 11, verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father, which is heaven, forgive your trespasses. And we're going to tell you something. Like I said this morning, this is not a request. This is a command. Now, I found this little illustration. When the first missionaries came to Alberta, Canada, they were savagely opposed by a young chief of the Cree Indians named Maxcapatun, if I'm saying it right. But he responded to the gospel and accepted Christ. Shortly afterwards, a member of the Blackfoot tribe killed his father. This chief rode into the village where the murderer lived and demanded that he be brought before him. Confronting the guilty man, he said, "You have killed my father, so now you must be my father. You shall ride my best horse and wear my best clothes." In utter amazement and remorse, his enemy exclaimed, "My son, now you have killed me." He meant, of course, that he killed the hate in his heart. I don't know how I can stretch. I'll just say this. I'll give you a good illustration. When we first moved up here, we had some church hurt in Conway. And I'm just telling you, I was devastated. I didn't hate nobody. Tony, I didn't hate nobody. But I guess in my heart, I was holding a little bit of resentment. I will never forget, we were in that rental house. I was in the upstairs bathroom. And it was like God got to dealing with me. And I had to pray. When I say I forgave those people, let me tell you something. I didn't have to drive back down to Conway, get in front of the church and say, "I forgive y'all." It's me. It's in my mind. Amen. It's in my mind. And when I literally got rid of the hatred and the hurt and let it go and forgave those people, God started blessing liberty. Folks, if you want God's blessing on your life, you got to move forward. You got to get rid of the unforgiveness. Let me tell you something. It don't make it right. And like I said, you ain't got to go and you ain't got to do all this stuff. Hey, this is for you. This is for you. To move forward, we got to have faith in God's promises. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says this, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, beloved, now are we sons of God? It doth not yet appear what we shall be. Let me tell you something. Every promise in this book, the Bible says the promises of God are yea, yea, and nay, nay. In other words, every promise in this book, if you're a child of God, this is your promise. This is your, we have got to do our very best to hold on to the promises of God. If God said it, mark it down, it's going to take care of it. Amen. In other words, if the Bible is a yes from God from you, we are guaranteed of his promises. We are guaranteed of his presence. We are guaranteed of the prize at the end of the road. And glory to God, you and I got to realize something. I preached on tithing this morning. And I believe you ought to tithe. Amen? God, I'll go ahead and tell you something. I am a prime example that if you give God what's his, he'll take care of the rest. Amen? Amen? And he'll bless you so good, you won't even be able to take it all. Amen? I'm living proof. I'm telling you, the promises of God are sure. The promises of God are there. You, and like I said this morning, if you need to read the book so you know what the promises are. To move forward, You need to find your place. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Most of us know this. For I know thy thought, I know the thoughts that I have, I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. God already knows where he wants you to be. Amen? God already knows where he wants you to be. I'm going to pick on Tony and David a little bit. When God sent them to this church, they were coming. They had been through some church hurt, and they were coming. They just wanted to come in and settle down and come to church. Didn't take long before God had both of them teaching. Amen. Didn't take long before God moved and God worked it out and God put both of them on our deacon board. God had a place for them. You need to find your place. Every one of us has got a, every one of us has got something to do. Every one of us, God's give you a talent that you can move and you can bless and you can help this church in your own way. Amen. I read a story. And I during World War II, Winston Churchill gave a speech. And he was talking to the people that worked in the coal mines. And whether anybody that knows anything about history, if you go back to American history or English history or whatever, just because people were fighting in Europe don't mean that they wasn't working in America to help them. And they weren't, in other words, the people in those coal mines were just as important as those soldiers on the front row. And he was talking to him, Brother Barry, and he said something to this effect. He said, in a little while, when all this is over, there's going to be a parade coming through London. He said, the first ones that come through are going to probably be our infantry. And everybody's going to be cheering. Everybody's going to be clapping. And then the next one will be our naval guys that kept the seas safe. And then the next one going to probably be the Air Force, you know. And then the very last, they're going to be some soot-covered civilians. And everybody's going to say, what are they doing in here? He said, and I'll proudly tell them, without them, we couldn't have won the war. Everybody can't be the preacher. Everybody can't be a deacon. Everybody can't be the choir leader. But praise God, everybody can do something. Amen. Amen. Find your place. Find your... Yeah, now let me ask you... Let me give you just a couple little questions that you can ask yourself to find your place. What can I do for the Lord this year? Ask yourself that question. What can I do for the Lord this year? What gifts has God given me that I can use for the Lord this year? Where is there a need in my church that God can use me this year? I'm telling you right now, if you'll ask those questions and you'll talk to our deacons, we'll find something. Amen? We'll find something. When I first moved up here, and when I first moved up here, there was a couple in our church. They weren't great singers. They weren't, but you know what they wanted to do? They come to our deacon board and say, listen, we want to clean the church. We want that to be our job, that we clean the church. What can you do for the Lord? To move forward, you need to follow the precepts of the Lord. That's this right here. Amen. Folks, being a Christian is not rocket science. Being blessed by God is not rocket science. You do what this book says, and it all falls into place. When the book talks about forgiveness, when the book talks about salvation, when the book talks about us getting things under the blood, just do what it says. Follow the precepts of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says this, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. We'll never forget the past without the Bible. We'll never forgive without the Bible. We'll never know the promises without the Bible. And understand something, we'll never find our place without the Bible. How many want to move forward this year? In our last Sunday service, of 2024. And I know we're going to meet back Tuesday night and pray, but in our last Sunday service in 2024, without any music, without any fanfare, let's just everybody come gather around this altar and ask God to help 2025 be a better year, not only for the church, but for your family, and ask God to help us move forward this year and see people saved, see your family, and see families blessed, and see God move in a special way.